Today, March the 14th, 2024, is the four-year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve here in Ontario. And what better way to celebrate than with a bombshell story concerning a level four biolab in Winnipeg, a Chinese scientist that might be a CCP agent, and a cover-up from our own prime tyrant and his cabinet. You want to celebrate even more? No problem. We'll also dig deeper into the ArriveCan scandal and how several federal accountants were pressured not to speak out against it years ago. The truth can only stay buried for so long. Eventually, everything comes into the light, and we take pleasure in shining that light into dark places for you, our dear audience, to see and understand. They said that we were unbalanced, anti-government, anti-authority, anti-science conspiracy theorists. They said our position was a radical, far-right, extremist, and racist one. Well, they were wrong. And we knew they were wrong the whole time. Will the people who slandered and reviled us, even close friends and family, ever admit they were wrong and apologize now that the evidence is way past overwhelming? Probably not. And the truth is, friends, we just have to be okay with simply knowing and proclaiming the truth. It's March 14th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is Liberty Dispatch.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. As always, our show is produced in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week. LCC exists to establish Christ's justice and righteousness and defend those who stand. And Christian Week exists to provide a practical, balanced, hope-filled perspective on national and global issues. We are so thankful that you have joined us once again. If you want to support the show, you know where to go, libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can scan that helpful QR code at the bottom of the page. And as always, if you have comments, questions, and concerns, reach out to us at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Andrew, yeah, we have some exciting news.
Yeah, one of the ways that you guys can support the work we do here is by registering for the Politics in the Pulpit Conference. So make sure you do that. This conference hopefully is going to help Christians engage in the political and the cultural spheres in effective and godly ways. So rather than keep politics out of the pulpit, which we all grew up with in our big evangelifish culture, Christians, including pastors, need to speak boldly and clearly into Canadian culture and politics. So you can join us at one of three locations. We're going to be in Weston, Nova Scotia on April 20th. We're going to be in Ingersoll, Ontario on May the 4th and New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. These are all Saturdays. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit. Make sure you register today. Seats are limited. Make sure you secure your spot. It's going to be a wonderful time. I'll be at all three locations in person, so I look forward to spending some time chatting and meeting you and answering all of your very spicy questions. All of the conferences will close with a live panel Q&A of the speakers who are there. So I almost especially look forward to those times. So make sure you register. It's going to be great. Now, you might be thinking, listen, I can't go for whatever reason. Maybe I'm too far. Maybe I'm unavailable. But I really believe in this. I think this is valuable. Then if you're so inclined, I would encourage you, if you want to support, if you want to donate toward the cost of the conference to help this thing be excellent and effective and really a blessing for Christians in our country, then you can reach out to me, churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com, and I can help you sort out donations. Anything that goes toward the cost of the conference will also, because it's our partnership with Christian Week and because it has a lot to do with our media arm and analysis, will also be eligible for a charitable receipt. So make sure you either register for the conference. We're hoping to make videos available at some point in the future, but don't bank on it. Don't let that be a reason not to register, because maybe not. Technology might fail and we might not be able to record it. So libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit or churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com. If you want to support the work, please register today.
Friends, you know what sucks? Burnt coffee. Burnt coffee is bitter. But you know what else is bitter? Drinking coffee you purchase from people who hate you and your way of life. Stop buying coffee from people who hate you and who you probably hate as well. Instead, you should buy your coffee from our friends and your friends over at Resistance Coffee. That's right. They are back, and better than ever, roasting delicious fuel for freedom. Try some Mischief Makers, a custom-blended medium roast for the dissidents and prisoners of conscience. Or how about Home and Hearth, a single-origin light roast for all those who remind us of what we are fighting for. Head over to resistancecoffee.com today. We are thrilled to partner with our dear friends over at Resistance Coffee, and we are thrilled that they are offering our listeners and our supporters 10% off all your orders at checkout. Use promo code Liberty10. That's resistancecoffee.com. Promo code Liberty10. Get fueled for the resistance today.
Yeah, I have some Mischief Makers in my cup right here.
Hearty.
It's very delicious. Good. It's very good. Hold on. I feel like today's a day I want to make some trouble.
Yeah.
And I was talking to all the other days, right? Yeah, especially this day. I was talking to people over at Resistance Coffee, and they are as amazed as I am that very few people are using that promo code Liberty10. So either you're buying coffee from Resistance Coffee and you're not using the promo code, and I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with you. That's 10% off your entire purchase, including merch.
Don't be
a fool. Or you're not buying your coffee from Resistance Coffee, and that's an equal what's wrong with you, because why would you buy burnt, gross, pro trans, godless ideology coffee from people who actually want to hate you and fund the destruction of life? So you have to make sure you buy your coffee at resistancecoffee.com, use that promo code Liberty10. Matt, we have quite the story that we need to deal with today. This is indeed a bombshell. This is massive. So let's just get the bullet points out of the way so that everyone knows exactly where we're going. There was a scientist working on mutating bat coronaviruses in a level 4 biolab in Winnipeg. That's Matt's hometown.
Yay.
The scientist was most likely, Winnipeg. The scientist was most likely a CCP agent feeding information and materials to China. The Trudeau government found out and actively worked to suppress this information in 2021. All the while this is happening, Trudeau is benefiting from China in several ways, both in terms of donations and also in terms of pressure from the CCP to help the election go in his favor. Now, newly released CSIS documents bring all of this to light. About 600 pages so far have come out, and we'll get into every one of these bullet points I've messaged in greater detail. But what we want to do first is we want to play a video from Sheila Gunn-Reid from Rebel News, and it's broken into three parts. We're just going to have very, very brief comment in between, and it's about 8 minutes total, and she just gives you the 30,000 foot in the air view of this story and what's going on that is still a breaking story. And so if you need to focus, if you're doing something that's distracting you, stop, sit down. You're going to want to pay attention to this. This is incredible stuff.
Now, the origins of COVID-19 still a mystery, despite it killing almost 5 million people since December 2019.
This is the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's Canada's only level 4 microbiology lab. It's also the only level 4 microbiology lab in the world that Chinese scientists outside of China had access to. This lab is also the site of an international espionage story, 5 years in the making, and a 3-year-long cover-up that goes all the way up to the Prime Minister's office. And that cover-up, as documents now show, involves gain-of-function research involving filoviruses from bats. Now, this lab is in a normal Winnipeg area. It's in a residential neighborhood. It's got businesses across the street, and it is near the head offices of Canada Blood Services. And this lab's proximity to all those locations should send a chill up your spine. Why? In 2019, two Chinese nationals working at the lab and their students were marched out of the building. They had been working with the Chinese military and transferring deadly pathogens, including Ebola, out of this lab and into the hands of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, with many of those deadly samples ending up in the hands of researchers at the Wuhan Virology Institute. The removal of Dr. Zhang Kuo-Kui and her husband from this lab triggered a Canadian Security Intelligence Services investigation. That investigation was called the 2020 Report on Review for Cause of Security Status. That report was hidden from the public for 3 years, but 600 pages of it were just made public, and it is damning.
We know as a country that increasingly countries like China and others are trying to either influence get secrets out of our country. And that's why we have to continue to be extraordinarily vigilant about how we're making sure we're doing everything necessary to keep people safe, to keep our research institutions safe.
Reporting on the documents by Sam Cooper from the Bureau revealed that Kui led the Wuhan Virology Institute's, quote, synthetic bat filovirus project with the Wuhan Institute's vice director, Dr. Shi Zhenli. She's known as the Bat Woman. Dr. Shi is the senior Chinese scientist that worked in 2015 on a controversial United States hybrid version of a bat coronavirus. The research, according to those CSIS records, was to assess cross-species infection and pathogen risks of bat filoviruses for future vaccine development purposes, which suggests that gain-of-function studies were possibly to take place. I'm going to walk you through the timeline, and you can draw your own conclusions, because we still don't know what's being covered up here at the National Microbiology Lab. Is it Justin Trudeau's own ineptitude and his complete and total disregard for the safety of Canadians? Or has Justin Trudeau been completely colonized by Beijing and the dictatorship that he admires so much, all to hang on to power? Or is this a cover-up of something much worse involving Canada, the United States, and China?
Well,
yes.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is
sure
yes,
we can all
by
guess
the way,
which
if anyone's
one
wondering.
Is.
The answer is yes.
Andrew,
but that's crazy. Like, you know, yeah. and you didn't know about this. I mean, we knew about this, but
you didn't
know about, we kind of knew a little bit, but we didn't know the full extent of this. But here's what's crazy. People did know, and they've known for 3 years, and mm-hmm. now we're just starting to hear about it.
And they tried, as we'll see, they tried to bury it, right? They tried to bury this document, and you know, ultimately, they've tried to suggest that there is no connection between, an unprecedented lab leak national security event that took place in 2019. That they're trying to say there's no connection between the events that took place in 2020, when we do know, just based on the facts, that these doctors were studying bat coronaviruses, that they were involved in gain of function research, which more and more is likely the cause, is looking pretty much irrefutably the cause of the bat coronavirus. Where there's a lot of smoke, there's fire, and mm-hmm. there is a lot of smoke on this story. And if I can find the articles, I'll try and link them in the description below. But I had raised this when COVID happened very early on. I raised, I wonder if this possibly has anything to do with the lab leak that took place in Winnipeg in 2019, because I knew of that as an isolated story. Now, it's really funny because in 2019, the CBC was, putting forward the facts of the case as they happened in pretty, unspun terms as far as the CBC is concerned. And it's funny that when COVID ended up changing the world, when the pandemic happened, the CBC had to, and the person who was covering the story from Winnipeg, they had to come and then add spin to the story, say downplaying the possible connection between this lab leak and the Chinese officials, despite the evidence that was apparently apparent to a lot of people who were saying, I wonder if there's any connection here. But again,
so before we go into the second video, this is what I want you to understand, dear listeners. The original story was that some guy was in a wet market in China. He was eating a bat while getting bitten by a spider, and then he kissed a penguin, and then he got COVID, right? That's what happened.
Yeah,
this supposedly. Was wild, wild tri-animal at the same time thing, and then he got COVID. And we realized that's nonsense. And even people were saying early on, you do not have animal to animal from and then animal to human transfer this quickly. Viruses do not work this way. It takes seasons for it to happen.
And they also find the host very quickly on in cases like that.
People start thinking, oh, well, that was a lab. So the story up until recently has been, it was in China. But now the story appears to be, well, maybe Canada and the United States had a little more to do with it than we think. So just let that set in. Let's move on to the second part of the video.
The information appears to be mostly about protecting the organization from embarrassment for failures in policy and implementation, not legitimate national security concerns, and its release is essential to hold the government to account. In other words, there was no national security reason why we couldn't have had this before. It was only because Trudeau didn't want the embarrassment.
According to the official timeline of the COVID-19 pandemic, cluster outbreaks began occurring in November and December in Wuhan, China, with the Wuhan Virology Institute, the suspected site of the release of the pathogen, intentional or otherwise. And as we all know, the global pandemic of COVID-19 was declared in March 2020, just a few short months later. But let's go back to Canada and this lab here. In June 2019, Dr. Kui, whose whereabouts are now unknown, her husband and her students were all marched out of the National Microbiology Lab and stripped of their security clearances for removing vials of some of the world's most deadly pathogens and then sending them to contacts in China. Fast forward to October 2019. China has either a problem or a plan. A whistleblower has alleged that the Chinese government intentionally spread COVID-19 at the October 2019 Military World Games in Wuhan, China. In a previous report, Rebel News revealed through a whistleblower that Canadian soldiers had been among those infected with severe respiratory illness at the October 2019 World Military Games in Wuhan, and that the Trudeau government had gone to extensive lengths to cover it all up. Either way, by November and December of 2019, COVID was on the loose and it was spreading across the world. Fast forward to June 2021, CSIS has wrapped up their investigation into the espionage at the lab behind us. But now, Ian Stewart, the president of the Public Health Agency of Canada, refuses four times to turn over the findings of the CSIS investigation to Parliament, becoming the first federal manager to be censured by Parliament since 1891. Then, 4 months after his censure, Stewart steps down and moves to the National Research Council. More recently, Stewart has just retired to a hero send-off just weeks before 600 pages of the CSIS investigation into the lab that he oversaw were released to the public. Now, in that same month that Ian Stewart was censured, June 2021, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau sued the Speaker of the House, his own Liberal MP Anthony Rota, to block the release of those 600 pages of documents. Why?
That's a good question, Sheila. That's a good question.
To cover it all up, of course.
That's yes. Yeah, obviously. But if you draw those obvious inferences, Andrew, you're obviously a crazy conspiracy theory.
Kudos to Sheila Gunn-Reid. This is excellent work, by the way. This is excellent. Even the way this brief 8-minute video is done, it is well done. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is – let me tell you where Dr. Kui is, by the way. She's somewhere back home receiving awards for being a national hero for doing what she was told to do, which was bring about destruction in the West.
Or she might be dead. Right, so that nobody can get a
hold of her. That's the other alternative. That's the other alternative. But if she's locked away somewhere at home as a hero, like, here you are, hero, in your own villa, but you'll never talk to another person again. But thank you for serving your country. Or she's dead. That's true. Yeah, that could be another thing.
Yeah, just so to get rid of the loose ends. Yeah. Anyways, let's watch the third clip here, and then we can continue on with the story and kind of do a response.
6 weeks later, August 2021, Justin Trudeau calls a snap election completely unnecessarily in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic with multiple COVID restrictions in place in most jurisdictions. Oddly enough, while Justin Trudeau was holding a majority parliament. Moving ahead to 2023, it's now been credibly alleged that the Chinese government intervened on behalf of Trudeau and his federal liberals in that snap election in multiple ridings across the country, flipping potentially a dozen seats in favor of Justin Trudeau. It's odd because it was an election he was set to win anyway. And while the Chinese government is credibly accused of meddling in the 2021 election, the Chinese government is simultaneously operating police stations on Canadian soil. So what was being grown in this lab by Cui and her team? What was being sent from this lab to the Wuhan Virology Institute, the place pinpointed now as the genesis of the global COVID-19 pandemic? And why, at the dawn of the pandemic, did Justin Trudeau give the Wuhan Institute of Virology $900,000 to investigate COVID-19? Did it have anything to do with Cui's research into bat filoviruses? Will we ever learn what Justin Trudeau knew? Will we ever learn why he acted so desperately to cover up and to continue to cover up what happened here in this lab? If Canada was truly the victim of espionage and not implicated in something far more sinister, why did our government go to such lengths to cover it all up? For Rebel News, in Winnipeg, at the National Microbiology Lab, I'm Sheila Gunn-Reid.
When I played my wife that video clip, so I showed her the clip and she looked at me and she said, oh, so he called an election to cover this up so that it wouldn't come out. I'm like, yeah, that's about right, as a distraction. The election was a pay no attention to that man standing behind the curtain. That's exactly what this was. Justin Trudeau is the prime Wizard of Oz trying to distract us from what's going on with the election. So we have to take a closer look at the scientists. We want to dive in a little bit more at this actual scientist. So this story comes to us from the CPC, the Canadian Provident Corporation, formerly known as the CBC. And, you know, again, my wife said, well, why is the CBC covering this? Because eventually when the levee breaks and the water starts gushing out, you can't cover it up anymore. Mm-hmm. Eventually, then you realize then because it's everywhere, you have to cover it. Otherwise, you make yourself obviously to look even more like the statist propagandist that you are.
Yeah, so the cover-up was already exposed with the documents being released, right? Yeah.
So this is – and if they report on it, you know it has to be true. Yeah, so this is what they say. Quote, one of the scientists who was fired from Canada's top infectious disease laboratory intentionally shared scientific information with China, potentially putting people's health in jeopardy, says an assessment by the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. But even still, they still have to couch it, right? They have to say potentially – allegedly. So even they're not going to come right out and say it, but you know what's there. Okay. The intelligence assessment was released late Wednesday afternoon by the federal government, along with hundreds of other documents about the mysterious dismissal of Dr. Zhang Guokui and her husband, Keding Cheng. The scientists and their students worked in a level 4 virology facility at the Winnipeg-based National Microbiology Lab, which is equipped to deal with the most serious and deadly human and animal diseases. The couple were marched out of the facility in July 2019 and were stripped of their security clearances. Their dismissals were announced in January 2021, triggering concerns about Chinese espionage and leading to heated demands in Parliament for more information. According to the documents, CSIS conducted multiple security screenings of the couple.
Yeah, truly, truly astounding. More from the article, Andrew. CSIS wrote, Cui was using the level 4 lab in Canada, quote, as a base to assist China to improve its capability to fight highly pathogenic pathogens. Okay. That sounds like some gain of function research. Anyways, and achieved brilliant results. Key provided Beijing, quote, with the Ebola genetic sequence, which opened a door of convenience for China, wrote CSIS. CSIS excused Qi of being associated with multiple, quote, talent programs administered and funded by various Chinese entities. Those programs are set up to, quote, boost China's national technological capabilities and may pose a serious threat to research institutions, including government research facilities, by incentivizing economic espionage and theft of intellectual property. That's astonishing. And that is what CSIS in the report had to say. In early January 2021, the head of CSIS's security screening program issued a dire warning about Qi's trustworthiness and her, quote, close and clandestine relationships with a variety of entities of the PRC, which is a known security threat. The intelligence agency said that if Qi were reinstated at the lab or allowed to retain a security clearance to handle sensitive biological agents, quote, Canada's national security and health and the health of the individuals may be put into jeopardy, Health Minister Mark Holland said. China's influence on Canada's scientific community, quote, was not known to the extent it was today. Quote, these were eminent scientists whose research and work was well known. They were leaders in their field, some of the brightest scientists that were known, he said. The Public Health Agency of Canada said screening measures are strictly enforced at the National Microbiology Lab for all staff and external visitors, but yet they didn't get.
Looks like we can't trust that anymore.
Well, yes, yeah.
Credibility out of the window.
Yeah, apparently very good screening process, but the dangerous CCP operative, we didn't screen for that person, even though she was a credible threat.
So keep this in mind now. Remember this when you see. So when you see people from the Liberal and NDP cabinet just kind of wave a hand and dismiss the real danger of the CCP's infiltration, whether it's technological, economic, now we see medical, their infiltration into Western countries for our destruction, and you see the Liberals and the NDPs wave a hand at, oh, it's not that serious. Understand that they're liars, right? Yeah. That they probably know it is serious, but they just want to cover it up. And then when people tell you, and the, you know, the legacy media is great for this, and reporters say, well, you're racist, that's anti-Chinese rhetoric, you can tell them to go for a hike, because all they're trying to do is just kind of jam you up and shut you up from saying what's true, which is it is demonstrably clear at this point, as it has been for a while. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that they try to excoriate Trump over in the United States, is he was clear that one of the greatest geopolitical threats to the security and prosperity of Western countries is the CCP. And he was right about that. And they tried to downplay it, not because they disagreed, but because they knew it was true. But both the American elites and our Canadian elites have to do whatever their CCP handlers tell them to do. Mm-hmm. And so because they indeed are pulling the strings. So that's where we are.
And I mean, I think it's corruption more than ignorance and negligence as far as Canada is concerned, for sure.
Absolutely.
But people have to understand, this is fifth generational warfare, right? China, despite its size, despite its fighting force, despite some of the advantages that it has militarily, they do not believe that they can overcome the West in a kinetic warfare situation. So what do they have to do? Well, they have to employ psychological warfare. And we've seen stories all over the globe where China is embedding CCP operatives in key political, medical, all sorts of institutions that are key to the functioning of Western society. We're seeing them embed them in those structures in a way to subvert Western ideals, Western democracy. I mean, how many stories do you need coming out of Canada before you actually will react and recognize there's a serious threat and a serious problem here in Canada that ostensibly we now know that China credibly interfered with Canadian elections over the last two election cycles, primarily to help the Trudeau regime, that Chinese funders were backing the Trudeau Foundation, that the CCP literally has police stations that put pressure on Chinese nationals here in Canada across our country. And now we know that a Chinese national, a couple Chinese nationals working in the most prestigious, the most secure, the only one of its kind in terms of the medical work and research it's doing in Canada, for sure. That they've embedded them there, and that we know that part of the work they were doing was taking diseases and shipping them to China, specifically to the Wuhan lab of virology. We know that was happening. We know Cui was previously involved in gain of function research. We know that it's very likely that COVID was created through gain of function research. All these things are obviously adding up to one conclusion, and yet our government now we're seeing has done a yeoman's work to bury the evidence of their connection in all of this
That's what we're going to get into. That's what we're going to look at next. Yeah. So we got some more to cover. But first, if you're using MailChimp, HubSpot, or Salesforce for email marketing, CRM, and sales, you probably know they've been canceling Voices of Freedom and Truth. That's why Liberty Coalition Canada has switched over to Sales Nexus. Sales Nexus is a complete business marketing and sales solution that won't tell you what you should say or believe. You can try it yourself at salesnexus.com and get two users for the price of one with the promo code Liberty. If you're a church, if you're a parachurch organization, if you're any sort of institution that sends out mass emails for your business or for your ministry, you are going to want to connect with Sales Nexus. They won't cancel you. The platform is user-friendly. It is intuitive. Salesnexus.com, promo code Liberty. So a suspected CCP spy working in our only level 4 biolab on deadly viruses and feeding information to China, all under the noses of the federal government and the health establishment, that's cause enough to fire every single member of Trudeau's cabinet. All of them. Done. You need to resign. But as we've already seen, it actually gets much worse than that. Officials at the highest levels knew about all of this and hid the information from the public. So an election was called to distract from all of this. This is what both Sheila Gunn-Reid is kind of hinting to and what we suspect is also the case. Now, this is from Zero Hedge. Quote, a November 2020 Public Health Agency of Canada report on Cui says investigators weighed the adverse information and are in agreement with the CSIS assessment. Okay, so that's just 2020. So they knew. A public health agency report on Cheng's activities says he allowed restricted visitors to work in laboratories unescorted and on at least two occasions did not prevent the unauthorized removal of laboratory materials. Again, there is no doubt that the Public Health Agency of Canada knew about all of this and knew what was going on. This is still from Zero Hedge. Quote, alongside selling deadly pathogens to Chinese authorities at the Wuhan Institute of Virology for just $75 or 30 pieces of silver, Cui was also found to have hidden a Chinese bank account from CSIS. Further to our security assessment, this is CSIS report, the service assesses that Ms. Cui developed deep corporate relationships with a variety of People's Republic of China institutions and has intentionally transferred scientific knowledge and materials to China in order to benefit the PRC government and herself without regard for the implications to her employer or to Canada's interests. Cui was shown to have given China agents direct access to Canada's National Microbiology Laboratory, a biosafety level 4 facility which houses Canada's most secret and secure pathogenic diseases. These pathogens can be used in weaponry. Ms. Cui also gave access to the National Microbiology Laboratory to at least two employees of a PRC institution whose work is not aligned with Canadian interests, CSIS stated.
Man,
that's bananas.
This is like every single mainstream media outlet, if they were serious about their job, would be reporting around the clock about the scandal. But what do we see? You know, Catherine talked about, oh, I'm surprised CBC's covering this. Well, not in the breadth that they right. should be, right? Obviously, this is a bombshell report. And like you said, there's so much smoke here. They can't bury it in total without seeming like absolute total agitprop clowns, but they're still not covering this scandal in the same level that it deserves. This is crazy stuff. But Andrew, if you can believe it, it still gets worse. The story still degrades. It's truly unbelievable. Still from Zero Hedge. CSIS also found that Cui was actively working with the Chinese Wuhan Virology Lab on a project that CSIS redacted and called, quote, scare quotes, Project One. This project started in January 1, 2019, just 3 months before she sent a shipment of materials to the Wuhan lab, and the project involved the study of mRNA vaccines. Project 2 was cited by CSIS as being a, quote, cross-species infection program that could have been used for gain-of-function research into bat coronaviruses. There you have it. CSIS reported that, quote, at least five virus strains from the March 31, 2019 BSL-4 pathogen shipment from Winnipeg to Wuhan were referenced in the Wuhan Institute of Virology Project 1. Quote, under Justin Trudeau's watch, the PRC and its entities, including the People's Liberation Army, were allowed to infiltrate Canada's top-level lab. They were able to transfer sensitive intellectual property and dangerous pathogens to the PRC, reads a statement from Pierre Poilievre, the leader of Canada's Conservative Party. And to that, we say amen, Pierre. Quote, based on its own assessment, the Liberal government allowed a person who is, quote, a very serious and credible danger and, quote, a realistic and credible threat to Canada's economic security to access and compromise our country's top-level lab, which works with some of the world's most dangerous viruses, such as Ebola. This is a massive national security failure by Justin Trudeau and his Liberal government, which he fought tooth and nail to cover up, says the opposition leader. And he is so right about that.
Yeah, they attempted to cover it up, and they were successful for a few years. At least they were successful for enough years mm-hmm. to inundate us with the fear of COVID, and then convince us that the jabs were our salvation through COVID. And so the trillions of dollars could exchange hands. So they suppressed it for that long, but it came out. But you would think now that it's out here, we need to devote every resource that's appropriate to be able to find out exactly what happened and how. right?
Certainly.
But in light of all of this, in a stunning display of what I can only say is pure evil, the Liberals and the NDPs actually shut down a motion brought forth by Conservative MP Michael Chong on investigating this whole debacle. So this is from the National Post. Quote,
unreal.
Arguing that this is not an urgent situation, the Liberals, with the help of the NDP, shut down an emergency House of Commons Ethics Committee meeting that had been set up to dig deeper into the matter of two high security scientists fired from the Winnipeg National Microbiology Laboratory after an investigation uncovered they'd been leaking information and working with Chinese institutions. Conservative foreign affairs critic Michael Chong brought forward a motion on Monday to launch a probe into the flow of information and intelligence within the federal government to determine why security breaches and covert operations by Zhang Guoqi and her husband, Kading Cheng, were not caught earlier. That's exceedingly reasonable. Quote, these Winnipeg lab breaches are a part of a broader pattern by this government of neglecting Canada's national security, close quote, said Chong. Correct. Now, we're going to play you a video broken up into two parts. And this is what actually happened during this ethics committee meeting. Now, you have to see how this one Liberal, like when you look at her, okay, this is the face of evil. Okay, this is, if you want to see what a prettied up, makeuped up demon looks like, it looks like this. This is what you're about
now,
to
now, Chair. I have to say, this 1064 meeting calling process is supposed to be reserved for emergencies and not for political games. You know, the original letter that we've received on this 1064 really claims that, and it spreads disinformation in my opinion, that, you know, that it was the Trudeau government that withheld all of these documents, that there's something nefarious going on here, that there's a scandal going on here. But the reality of the matter is, Chair, that we have worked very hard with all parties to ensure that there is accountability. We know, and I think that all members of this party, and I will again have to say that every single Conservative member who signed this 1064 letter has been substituted out by another member. They are not here in this room. So clearly, this is not the emergency that these permanent members signed off on. They're not here. Clearly, they don't care. When we have all of these people substituted in for what is the mandate and the expectation of what the Ethics Committee is. The events that are in these documents, while they're incredibly important, and our government's taken action by creating this ad hoc committee, by releasing those documents publicly, does not constitute an emergency of what transpired 5 years ago. Many actions have been taken over these 5 years to ensure that these issues have been dealt with and that they won't happen again. That's literally the purpose of how we are going to get to ensuring that there's accountability and fairness in process. The ad hoc committee, which again, I was a part of, we did important work over the course of many, many months to get to the bottom of this. This 1064 is not necessary. It's not urgent. It is not in the mandate of this ethics committee.
So there you have it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So, two very quick things before we move on. Number one, what's the first thing she says? Oh, this is all about political grandstanding.
Of course.
This is just about scoring political points.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's about the fact that a foreign enemy infiltrated our most secure lab, and it looks like to create a virus that was used to bring the whole world to its knees.
Yes.
So that's garbage. Yeah. The second thing is, look at what she says. It's not an emergency, mm-hmm. right? It happened 5 years ago, and that right there,
yeah,
that is the evil
mm-hmm.
of the tyrant. That's the evil of the abuser. The Liberal mm-hmm. government has become the abuser in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Where what they're saying is, listen, that happened 5 years ago. It's not. But here's what's so amazing about this. So this is what she's basically saying. This terrible thing happened. We knew it happened. We covered it up so that we wouldn't have to deal with it.
But they looked into it, Andrew. She wants to assure that we looked into it. We were trying to hold ourselves accountable. Yeah.
So we covered it up. So what she's saying is we covered it up so that you wouldn't know about it. But now that you know about it, after we've covered it up, we can say, well, it's not a big deal because that happened before, right? It's almost like she's saying, why didn't you raise these concerns 5 years ago? Because you covered it up.
Yeah.
And the conservative members are not here. Would she apply that same rationale to Justin Trudeau whenever he disappears from parliament, whenever he leaves early, when he's questioned and he walks out? Mm-hmm. Would you say he doesn't care? No, of course he wouldn't, because you're evil. You're evil.
You notice liberals love emergencies, right? Everything's an emergency until it's a real emergency that can actually expose their, you know, evil, as you've rightly called it, and that their complicity in the insanity that took place. Listen, their fingerprints are on the murder weapon in this case. She's trying to reassure you, well, we don't really need another investigation into it because we have already done the work that has to go into ensuring that something like this wouldn't happen again.
Yeah. And if we didn't tell you about it the first time, there's no reason for us to do anything about it the second time.
Yeah. It's like, who would trust that? It's not an independent.
Look at her suggestion in light of the fact that it's not really an emergency. Look at her suggestion. Yeah. This is the second part of the video.
Yeah.
And Chair, for that reason, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Point of order.
Mr. Chair, I request a recorded vote on this.
Yes,
thank you.
That's fine.
Point of order. Mr. Chair.
It's not debatable what Ms. Khalid just...
I just want clarification for the effect of what Ms. Khalid has moved is to shut down debate.
I refuse to let this 106-4 become political gander for
Ms. Khalid. I've already addressed
colleagues.
That with Mr. Cooper, and and for those who are watching at home, this is a dilatory motion to stop the meeting before a decision is rendered. So I am going to ask the clerk, it is non-debatable. Mr. Chong has asked for a recorded division. And I'm going to ask the clerk.
Sorry, Chair, it sounds like you're debating a little bit there.
I'm explaining, Ms. Khalid. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm explaining exactly what's going on here and that there is no further debate, that you've asked that this meeting be adjourned without a decision of the committee being made. I'm explaining.
Because this is not the mandate of the committee, Chair.
That's your opinion. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
The vote is on the motion to adjourn the meeting. Yeas 6, nays 4.
So the motion to adjourn does carry by Ms. Khalid. This meeting is now adjourned.
So can I just say something that's going to get me in trouble? Can I just say something that's going to get me a little bit of trouble?
Absolutely.
Liberal women are the worst. Yeah. They are the worst. That is the epitome of a Karen. My guess would be that when she goes to Starbucks to order her coffee, she throws extra money in the tip jar because Starbucks pays her employees to go murder their babies out of state, and she probably revels in that.
And they're pro-Hamas, which I'm sure she is too.
So when she goes to Starbucks, she probably complains that there isn't enough whip on her soy latte, her soy caramel macchiato. Like nails on a chalkboard. Oh, it sounds like you're debating. No, I'm not debating, you schmuck. I'm just telling you what we're doing. I'm just explaining. It sounds like you're debating right now. We shouldn't be debating. Oh, my. If she's married, whoever she's married to, I feel sorry for them. They're probably miserable. I pray she doesn't have any kids because they're going to be completely messed up. Like, what an awful, awful person. Who's only doing what she's told to do,
and,
of course.
And she, so, it's so we need to highlight the fact that the motion carried. They shut down the debate. They shut down
We're not going to talk about this.
We're not going to talk about it. That is what this Liberal government, who's touted themselves as being the most transparent, the most above board, despite their ongoing mass amount of ethics violations and scandals. Like, this is a scandal-ridden regime that is clearly implicated in what should be seen as maybe potentially the biggest scandal in Canadian history. And when it comes to actually having debate and getting to the bottom of it, they go out of their way to stop that debate, saying that we have done the work in investigating ourselves. And guess what? We found that we were good. And maybe there's some things we can do a little bit better to ensure this never happens again. But we wouldn't actually want to get to the bottom of what actually did happen to hold
They'd
people
probably blame the Harper government. They'd say it's layover from the Harper government, the lack of funding and the lack of necessary security measures in place in the lab is because of Stephen Harper. That's probably what they would say.
Despite the fact that CSIS obviously had enough resources to actually flag that Kui and her husband were a credible risk to the health and safety of Canadians. This is
we are going to keep talking about this. Obviously, it's not all. I think there still might be more pages coming out from
report,
and we're going to keep addressing it. We're going to keep dealing with it. This is a breaking story, but you think could there be another scandal? Sure enough, this almost seems to top them all. Let's move on. We have one more thing we want to address at the end of the episode, which is related. But first, in the wake of COVID, it feels right. And this last story, I guess, maybe eliminates this a bit, but it feels like we're in the clear and that the worst is clearly behind us. Well, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that the global elites and most governments don't plan on giving up their attack on our freedoms anytime soon. Use this time of relative peace to make long-term plans to protect your family's wealth, regardless of what may come next. Call our friends over at Rocklink and get your investments working for you and for the kingdom. Call them at 905-631-5462 or email them at info@rocklink.com. That's Rocklink with a C, info@rocklink.com.
Oh, man. Well, It's hard to think of anything but the scandal that story truly is. But believe it or not, there's many scandals coming out of the Trudeau regime, and Arrive scam is also on the docket. It's almost like the plan here by the Trudeau regime was to literally have so many scandals that people can't keep track of all of them. Therefore, they're held accountable for none of them.
Yeah, this is the subplot to the COVID scandal. This is like subpoint 1A.
Yeah, and it's subplot 1A is Arrive scam. Arrive Can, the Arrive Can app. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Arrive Can app. So we've mentioned the Auditor General's report on Arrive Canada before on the program, and here is a portion of the at-the-glance section of her report. The Canada Border Service Agency, the Public Health Agency of Canada, and Public Services and Procurement Canada reportedly failed to follow good management practices in the contracting, development, and implementation of Arrive Scam. Arrive Can, anyways. As a result of the many gaps and weaknesses we found in the project's designs, oversight, and accountability, it did not deliver the best value, you can say that again, for taxpayer dollars spent. The Canada Border Services Agency's documentation, financial records, and controls were so poor that we were unable to determine the precise cost of the Arrive scam application. The Canada Border Services Agency's disregard for policies, controls, and transparency, again, in the contracting process restricted opportunities for competition and undermined value for money. we found that the agency had little documentation to support how and why GC Strategies was awarded the initial Arrive Can contract through a non-competitive process. We also found that GC Strategies was subsequently involved in the development of the requirements that the agency ultimately included in the request for proposal for its competitive contract. We also found that deficiencies in how the Canada Border Services Agency managed the contracts, again raising concerns about the value for money. Given the number of value and competitive and non-competitive contracts used to carry out this project, we are concerned that essential information, such as clear deliverables and required qualifications, were missing. We found that details about the work performed were often missing on invoices and supporting timesheets submitted by contractors that the agency approved over
so that's the Auditor
and
General.
Over again.
That's the Auditor General smacking around the federal government. That's like, if just listen, rewind and listen to that again. She's basically saying incompetence, just negligence, failure after failure, negligence,
corruption.
Just total. Now, obviously, this has created a little bit of a stir, that's to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But let's add some corruption juice crystals into this. That's mixed, that's being stirred to sweeten it up just a little bit, or maybe make it more bitter. So this is a report that's come from Blacklock's reporter. Quote, federal accountants knew of irregularities in the $59.5 million ArriveCan program, but were too frightened to speak out, a union executive yesterday told MPs. Accountants feared they'd be committing career suicide if they reported the misconduct they see in federal bookkeeping, said Danny Richard, president of the Association of Canadian Financial Officers. Quote, our members are afraid, close quote. So again, so much for that transparency. We're doing our due diligence. Here you have federal accountants afraid that their careers would be over if they said something. And I can assure you, it's not just because they thought it in their minds. It's almost certainly because they were pressured to remain silent and to keep it under wraps. Now, this brings us to the announcements that the RCMP has decided to investigate all of this. Now, while this is good news in theory, you have to remember, this is the same RCMP that colluded with Trudeau to compromise an investigation in order to push anti-gun legislation. That's this RCMP. Nevertheless, more exposure is always better than less. So this is from the Post-Millennial. Quote, the RCMP confirmed in a February 21st, 2024 letter to Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre that it is investigating the Trudeau government's ArriveCan scandal. RCMP Commissioner Mike Duhem wrote that the National Police Force is assessing all available information, including the Auditor General's performance audit report, and will take appropriate action. Both the House of Commons Standing Committee on Public Accounts and Government Operations are examining how the ArriveCan app went from an estimated cost of $80,000 to at least $60 million.
Wow. So,
quote.
I didn't know that.
Bonkers.
Like, you know, obviously we've talked about the $60 million being just totally ridiculous. Like, We actually know people that created apps. We know it doesn't cost $60 million. No. You know, it's
certainly
expensive
if you don't want it to work.
Yeah.
But most of that money has gone in to the pockets of friends.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's
but I don't think I've ever seen, Andrew, maybe you have, but I haven't seen the projected $80,000. You know, yep. to see how far we are off what they actually projected the app to actually cost. That's astonishing. That's
isn't it so great that the budget will balance itself? The budget will balance itself. It's just great.
Yeah,
so
that's what happens.
Just to show you again,
dimwits are
just to show you that more exposure is a good thing, right? It is a good thing to bring it out into the light. This is from CTV News. Quote, the Canadian government moved Wednesday to restrict two firms tied to the controversial ArriveCan app from bidding on future federal contracts. First, Public Services and Procurement Canada announced that it would ban GC Strategies, the company at the heart of the scandal surrounding the ArriveCan app, from participating in federal procurements with security requirements. Second, PSPC took action to issue stop work orders to Coradix Technology Consulting Limited, effectively suspending the firm from continuing any existing contract work. The government also suspended Coradix from participating in new procurement opportunities, close quote. Now, that sounds good, and I guess it is kind of good, except for the fact that GC Strategies is two people with a non-existent address. So yeah, the brains behind GC Strategies can simply incorporate another business, which only costs $200, come up with another fake PO box, which maybe is another $50, and they'll just rename them something else, and then they'll just get right back to it again. So it's not as if this has really protected us from anything, because it's not the names of the people. It's merely the business that's been banned, which doesn't really help and as much as we'd like.
Notice what's happening here. They are, the action they're taking is not towards the corrupt government officials that had to at every point give the go ahead and have the oversight and were responsible, that have a public duty to ensure that this stuff goes well. Though they're not being held accountable, it's these companies that were complicit and benefited from these schemes. We're holding them accountable.
Haven't you seen a spy movie? Haven't you seen a spy movie where the senator, the shady senator, pulls aside the Black Ops operative and says, "Listen, I have a mission for you. But if you're caught or captured, we're going to deny any knowledge. You're on your own. You get no support. Plausible deniability." That's exactly what's going on here.
Oh, for sure.
The federal government is like, "Listen, let's kind of fleece the taxpayers. We got some money for you. And if it goes bad, you're on your own. We're not. Yeah. We don't have anything to do with this."
Notice they're not. They're not
transparency,
gonna
Matt.
They're not going to have to repay any of the money. They're not gonna, like, of course they get not. To make all that money. They get to sail off in the sunset. We're just not going to give you any more contracts, even though we're the ones who had a public fiduciary responsibility to ensure things like this don't happen. It's scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal. And this is the bewildering.
Is as transparent as a brick wall.
Yes.
That's the level of transparency. A 5-inch thick brick wall.
Yeah.
That is our federal government.
Yeah. No. And this is banana republic stuff. Like truly. And I'm sure we'll cover it eventually on a next show or whatever. But to hear the. To hear Trudeau double down on everything, and especially as it comes to like the carbon tax, like he's exceedingly unpopular. And then he has the self-righteous indignation to get like he again, Darvo, this is deflect, reverse, accuse, reverse victim and offender. He is a abusive, manipulative sociopath. Potentially a psychopath. I don't know. But he gets up just recently on national TV and he's saying, "I don't care how unpopular I am. My job's not to be popular. My job's to ensure that stuff gets done and the future of the company according or the country according to my ideological vision."
He almost slipped because I could see it in his eyes. He said, "My job is to do whatever Klaus and Xi Jinping tell me. I mean, my job is to do." I could see it just almost slipped out a little bit. He did a good job of holding that together.
Notice that he's saying, "I don't care if Canadians hate what I do. I am
the same Canadians I'm supposed to represent."
Yes, I am going to transform this country, whether they like it or not. He's a petty tyrant, and we need to throw him out on his ear. And frankly, we need more accountability, more transparency, and we need to get to the bottom of just what happened in these scandals. And that's why I don't think an election can come soon enough. But regardless, like, say an election happens, say the conservatives, as a lot of the polls are indicating, are going to destroy the liberals, we need to hold the conservatives to account to not stop till they get to the bottom of what happened in all these things. Because let's be honest, there's a Ottawa Uni party, and so much of it is corrupt to the core. And so many of these people are implicated with each other that there is going to be the impulse to let off getting to the bottom of these things, to expose the actual corruption and not stop at a limited hangout where you know something's fishy, but you don't actually get to the bottom of it. We need to ensure that our MPs, that our representatives are doggedly determined to destroy the Trudeau regime by exposing to the light their duplicity and their deception and their evil. This now, one of these the ways, two scandals are should be the biggest thing that is nonstop going through our media. But this exposes just how captured MSM is by not touching on anything. Because if you let's imagine Harper or Polyev or Trump doing anything near what these people are implicated in, do you not think that every waking hour of the news would be dedicated to all these scandals? Of course they would. Of course they would. Of course they would. That just shows you how manipulative the MSM is. And that's why you need to help support shows like this, who are going to bring you the truth, who are going to go in detail through these reports, and who are going to bring a biblical worldview to bear to interpret what we're seeing in the news as well.
So one of the ways you can hold your elected officials accountable or force them to represent you well, it's not related, but I think it helps to exercise this muscle, is we sent an email out. We also posted on our social media. If you go to libertycoalitioncanada.com/bill C63, we put together a letter template that you can email or send to your member of parliament telling them they cannot support Bill C63. And the reason why this is good is because it forces our elected officials to hear from us and understand that they exist to serve and represent us. And so this is one way we can exercise that muscle in telling those for whom we vote, you need to represent us well, which means you need to oppose or support this legislation or this motion. So this is a good way for us to do that, to engage in telling our elected officials that they need to represent us well. So again, that's libertycoalitioncanada.com/BillC63. Send it to your MP. Let your voice be heard. Let them know they need to represent you. Yeah. But this is a reason, if I can throw a plug in, why you need to both support and attend the Politics in the Pulpit Conference. Because Christians need to think correctly about politics and political engagement. What do we do about this? How are we supposed to respond? In our families, in our churches, yes, but in the broader culture, what's the goal? What's the point? You're going to want to come to this conference because we're going to deal with how it is that Christians are to understand and interact in the political sphere in a way that is biblical and God-honoring. So, libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics in the pulpit. We're going to be in Weston, Nova Scotia, Ingersoll, Ontario, and New Westminster, British Columbia. If you're anywhere near there, register, come out to one of these events. It's going to be, I hope, an edifying and equipping time for Christians in our country. And again, if you're thinking I can't be there or whether I am going to be there or not, I certainly believe in this. This is needed. This is necessary. This is unique in our country. And you want to be able to help support and make this thing run well and effectively, then you're invited to email churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com to be able to support and donate toward the conference. That's how we want to leave you off today. There are some practical things you can do, some ways you can engage with your members of parliament, and we will continue to bring you the news. And as this story and scandal continues to unfold, we will not be like the legacy media. We will shine light on it and keep you informed and up to date.
Absolutely. Until next time, everybody, Galatians 5:1.
Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.